Let's turn to God's Word. Today, we have Psalm number 65. If you're using your pew Bible, it's on page 660, Psalm number 65. Aunt Lee has the reading for you, and I recommend that you follow along.
Good morning. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions. You will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds in righteousness you will answer us. O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all ends of the earth, and of the far off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples, they also who dwell in the furthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the rain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your path drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flock. The valley also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing.
Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful word. We ask you now, Lord, as we consider what the psalmist has written, that we would likewise be ready to praise you at all times, Lord, that your honor and glory would be on our lips. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is one of my favorite psalms for Thanksgiving time, number 65. To me, this psalm captures the end of the growing season feeling of abundance, blessedness, gratefulness. The whole community has gathered together and turns its thoughts upward to God and acknowledges that he is the one who has sent it all. He's the one who has given it all, allowed it to be so. And not just the community. See, he says, praise awaits you in Zion, but, you know, beyond the nation, right? And in fact, all the nations, the psalm, you know, looks out to the ends of the earth, okay? Someday this is going to be so. You know, in the prophet Zechariah, at the end of the book of Zechariah, we have this beautiful prophecy of after the return of the Lord on that great day to save Jerusalem and to establish his kingdom. We have this prophecy that all nations will go up year by year to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate, it says to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, the Feast of Tabernacles is this 7-day long harvest festival. It's the so-called Feast of Ingathering, which was part of the Israelites' annual cycle of holy days that was appointed by God. Each year, at the end of the agricultural year, they had what effectively amounts to a week-long Thanksgiving. Right? All is safely gathered in, like our hymn says, all is safely gathered in. And so, you know, what's more appropriate when all has been safely gathered in than to worship the Lord God of hosts who gave it all? Okay, he has provided for us for another year. Okay, so we just prayed, give us this day our daily bread, and he does give us our daily bread. But that's because each year he provides the yearly harvest. Okay, God is the one who has set up the cycles of the seasons, you know, winter and then springtime and then summer and then finally harvest. And, you know, to me, you know, living in South Jersey, this is one of the things that I especially like about being in a basically rural area is to see as I drive the annual progress of the farmer's work every year. You know, first the fields go from being bare to then they're plowed, and then you see, you know, something little is growing up out of there, and then for, you know, a few weeks or months, the corn and the potatoes and everything grow, and then one day, you know, there's the tractor out there, and they're, you know, hauling it all in. They're bringing it in. Or, you know, you drive by Mood's Farm Market like I do, you see the U-Pick, you know, there's people out there with their baskets and they're going out to get their peaches or apples or whatever. And then by November, it's all done. You know, it's pretty much finished, and then the fields are kind of being prepared for the winter. And I think maybe most people don't give much thought to how dependent we all are on the success of this process, and how the whole process depends on the goodwill of God. You know, the earth is full of good things, but whose goodness is it? Right? It's the goodness of the Lord. Right? Who caused all of this? Right? Who designed this a sequence of seasons and the weather patterns and the, you know, the dry and the wet and the cold and the warm? Who came up with all of these things that come up out of the ground that people can grow them and then harvest them and then eat them and live and be joyful? It's only if you're not paying attention that you might think that these things just sort of exist, just kind of automatically appear in the grocery store or on your table. And it's only if you're completely ignorant that you would realize that you would think that, you know, we're not utterly dependent on a great provider to see to it that those things get supplied month after month and year after year. So I, for one, have gotten to really like having the Thanksgiving service on the Sunday before the actual day, because it makes it seem like more like a week. You know, it's good to have our spirit of thankfulness and worship last longer than just, you know, maybe the brief few minutes around the table right before you eat on Thursday. You know, a week to me seems more suitable, don't you think? And, you know, let's be honest, the Thanksgiving dinner is much more about the eating than the thanking. You know, that's what all the concern is about. Who's coming over? What are we going to have? When are we going to eat? Who's bringing dessert? Who's doing the turkey? The setting the table, the cleaning the dishes, and all of that. Okay, wait a minute. Oh, let's put things in the proper arrangement here, shall we? So Psalm 65 begins where everything in our life ought to begin. Okay, let's have a look. What's the first thing? Praise awaits thee, O Lord, in Zion. Okay, and it's as if to say, here's all the people gathered. Here we are all assembled in Zion. And, you know, the whole city has turned out and we are ready to worship you. Right, this whole occasion that we're here for is about you, and it's for you, and it's basically as soon as you get here, we're ready. Right, we have our songs ready, we have our gifts ready, we have our sacrifices ready. We just need you to come down and meet with us. Okay, praise awaits you. Here we are ready. And I really wish it was more like that in more people's lives and more churches' lives, that, you know, praise and thanksgiving were always sort of just ready on the lips of all of the men and women. And here we are, we're gathered, we're all set to worship. Okay, we're basically anticipating the minute when things get started. And so think about how when you arrange a birthday party or a retirement party for somebody and you know, everybody else is there in advance, and they're just sort of waiting for the guest of honor to walk in. You know, they've been through that. You know that there's a kind of excitement. And, you know, here she comes, here he comes, you know, and there's an eagerness, right? So this is not something that's dull. It's not something that's an obligation or something that has to be endured and sat through. It's not time that I could have spent better doing something else, right? It's a heartfelt welcome, a celebration and appreciation. Okay, it's you, Lord. This is for you, right? Thanksgiving is about you, our God. One of the features, if you have the psalm open in your lap, one of the features of this psalm, which it's kind of hiding in plain sight, is just how many yous there are. And if you have the Pew Bible, that's the New King James Version, the New King James Version will capitalize when pronouns refer to God, you know, capital H for he, capital Y for you. You can just sort of look this over and see how many capital Ys there are. They kind of jump out at you. You know, the psalm is just loaded with, we're talking right to God, right? It's focused on the goodness and the acts and the greatness of the Lord God. And the people express themselves to you, Lord, right? And it's like I said, it's kind of so obvious it's you miss it, that this is not a psalm that we're talking about God in the third person. You know, we're not saying he did this, he did that, right? And this, we're not, he's not the subject of our discussion. He's not the topic of, we're not talking about something about God. We're here to talk to God and to give praise to you, right? Everything we have is from you. So you can go down the psalm and see, right? You are the one who hears prayers. You provide atonement for our iniquities. You draw men near to yourself. Your courts, Lord, are where we receive our blessing from. Your house is the source of our satisfaction. You do awesome deeds, verse 5, right? You are the God of our salvation, right? You are the one in whom all the ends of the earth put their confidence, right? You established the mountains. You stilled the raging of the seas. You quiet the tumult of the people. And you cause rejoicing from one end of the earth to the other. That's verse 8, a little bit tricky words there. But you see that? You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. Okay, and that's like saying, elsewhere it says, you know, from the place where the sun rises to the place where it sets, right? The name of the Lord is to be praised. It's, you make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. Wherever the sun goes, wherever the moon goes, there's rejoicing, and it's because of you, Lord. And so that's why we're all here in Zion together to praise you, right, and make our vows to you and dedicate ourselves and the fruit of our labors to you. Okay, and so, like I said, for now, at the time of writing the psalm, praise awaits you in Zion, but the psalm does look ahead to that glorious future where the whole earth is going to be filled with the praises of the Lord. Okay, all flesh, verse 2, all flesh will come to you. All flesh will acknowledge your name. And we know that's because God has this plan to make it known from sea to sea that there is, in fact, no other God but him, right? That no eye has ever seen any God but you. No ear has ever heard of any God but you, right? You alone are the God who hears men's prayers. You're the only God who makes atonement for transgressions. You're the only God who does mighty miracles. You're the God who founded the earth by his power. Okay, so moving on. You are the one who watches over the earth and waters it. Right, that doesn't just happen. You do it, Lord. Right, you enrich the soil. You fill the rivers. You provide the grain. You water the ridges. You settle the furrows in the fields. You make the land soft with showers. You bless its growth. And number 11 is my favorite verse in the psalm. You crown the year with your goodness. That, to me, that's beautiful. I mean, I think that's Thanksgiving in a nutshell, isn't it? You crown the year with your goodness, right? The year's over. The agricultural year is over. And, you know, we just have basically to wrap up the year with our holidays. But here's this special day. Here's this harvest feast day where all this goodness is on the table. Okay, whose goodness is it? Right? Whose bounty is it? Whose, the rest of the verse, whose paths drip with abundance? Okay, now if you look in other versions, that paths is wagon tracks or cart tracks. Right, those are God made those wagon tracks. You know, it's those carts that haul all this stuff in from the fields. Those are the Lord's wagon tracks. You know, those are the Lord's tractors out there lugging in all of this abundance, right? It's you, Lord, who makes our pastures overflow and makes the hills rejoice. Here's a good visual here. It's you, Lord, who clothes the meadows with flocks, right? Clothes them. You know, it's like they're wearing a big woolly sweater. You know, it's just covered, you know, in this big woolly, right? And you cover the valleys with grain, like with a blanket. Okay, you do that, Lord. The whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. Right? Of who? You. Right? You, our Father, you have done this. He does it again and again. He does it year by year. And so all flesh will come to you. Okay, so you know, Thanksgiving, of course, is generally an American holiday. They don't have it everywhere. If you go to another country, chances are they're not doing anything special this Thursday. And to me, that's kind of sad that they don't have it everywhere. I love that we have this. And for the Christian who's paying attention, this is like a little mini biblical Feast of Tabernacles that we get to keep. But it's really only rewarding spiritually if you're mindful about it. You know, if you're mindful about making sure, number one, that your focus is on the one who oversees the whole cycle, the whole process, you know, the whole work of providing for us. Okay, and as the psalm says, he doesn't just provide for us, he hears our prayers, he takes away our transgressions, he promises to make war cease to the end of the earth, he promises to quiet the tumult of the nations. Okay, and mindful number two, like this psalm is constructed, we don't just talk about God, you know, as a topic, you know, as though he's not literally present there. You know, he's just something we, you know, we say, well, what are you thankful for? Well, okay, to think about what you're thankful for is obviously a good exercise, but it's not complete, is it? Until you actually turn your heart upward and voice your praises to you, Lord, you, our Father, okay? Praise awaits you. My praise awaits you, our praise, you know, my family's praise, our church's praise. You know, if you just come down to us and visit us, we have it ready for you. Okay, we are ready to sing, we're ready to praise, we're ready to worship you. Okay, Thanksgiving as a holiday is only rewarding spiritually if you're mindful about it. And so, like I said, I think it's great that we have started to do this thing on Sunday, I think, and get an early start on the day by dedicating several days, hopefully, right, today, tonight, hopefully the days in between, and then the rest of the week, to worshiping and praising our Lord, who again has crowned the year with his goodness. He's done it again. Okay, 2023 is crowned with God's goodness. And if you set your mind to it, you can think of Thanksgiving 2023 as a down payment on the celebration in the kingdom of God, right? You can think of it as a foretaste of the age to come. Now, when Christ is king, he will, scripture says, he will break the bow and shatter the spear. He will cause war to cease to the ends of the earth. And all the evil is going to be forgotten and put out of mind. And heaven and nature will sing. Right, the earth itself is going to burst forth with joy. The trees of the field will clap their hands and the mountains will resound with song. Blessed are those, this psalm says, number 4, verse 4, blessed are those whom the Lord shall choose and bring near to himself, that they may dwell in his courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, with the goodness of your holy temple. Okay, by awesome and righteous deeds, O Lord, you will answer us, God of our salvation. Okay, to dwell in the courts of the Lord. Right? God himself is the greatest good. Is he not? Right? Now everybody knows Psalm 23. You've heard it again and again. 23rd Psalm. You know how it ends. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everybody knows it. But not everybody will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? Some people will and some people will not dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because some people have set their heart's desire on wanting to be with the Lord. and other people simply don't. And so I guess that's the question. Do you, right? Do you have praises ready and waiting for the Lord? Are you eager for him to come and be present? Do you regard God as great and deserving of the greatest praise? Right? Do you understand that all blessing and goodness flows from his dwelling place, from his holy temple, right? Blessed is the man you choose, and draw near to yourself, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house. Okay? The day is coming when finally God the Father will be all in all, right? He will be the center of attention. He'll be the object of all gratitude. Right? The scriptures foresee the glory of the Lord covering the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. And what once was centered here in tiny little Israel, well, it was foretold that someday it's going to cover the whole world. Well, I'd say we're getting there, aren't we? I mean, that might have seemed like a big thing to envision back in, 1000 BC or something when the psalm was written. But now we can easily see how it's feasible that this can be a thing, right? That it will come to pass that from every nation, praise goes up to the God of Israel, right? Because wherever the sun runs its course, wherever the moon happens to go, people are there who worship Jehovah, the God of heaven, and Jesus Christ, his only son. Okay, God has spread his fame around the globe. And this is what we've been studying in Acts, right? And you know the way that it goes in Acts, right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then what? On beyond to the ends of the earth. Okay, well, we've gotten as far so far as Antioch. It's farther than Samaria, but that's still pretty close. We're talking about Syria. Okay, when we get back to Acts, it's going to be off to regions beyond for the rest of the book. Okay, so we're here on the opposite side of the globe. Praise goes up from here. So, we must be getting pretty close to the end, right? Praise awaits you in Zion. Well, we're a long way from Zion, so I think it can't be very long now. And you can see how Zechariah's words and Isaiah's words are going to come true, right? Men from every nation will say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let's go to the house of God and worship at his feet and hear the word from his mouth. Well, okay, what's stopping you from doing that now, at least in spirit? Are you eager for the age to come? What's stopping you from celebrating a perpetual thanksgiving right away? Okay, shouldn't that always be the attitude of our hearts? Praise awaits thee, O God, not just in Zion way over there, but here in our house, right here in New Jersey, here in our church, that we as a congregation, we as a family, at the end of the season, right, we're ready and waiting to offer to you, Lord, our songs, our gifts, our prayers, and our gratitude. Well, praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let it begin now. Praise the Lord God. Let it begin and never cease. Now let's pray and be thankful. Gracious Father, to you all flesh shall come indeed, and we want to be counted among that number, Lord God. We offer ourselves as your willing servants, Lord. We praise you for the remission of our transgressions. We praise you for your abiding Holy Spirit. Praise you for your word. We praise you, of course, for the things needful for the body. You are so, so very generous to us in all of these, Lord God. You are a God of great glory and great kindness. And so we ask you, Father, that a testimony, that praise of God would overflow, well up from within us. Let it be visible to our neighbors and our friends and our family members, Lord. And we just ask you, Father, to magnify your name because you are worthy indeed, Lord, to be praised by every single soul. So we ask that you would increase your flock, Lord. We pray that through our good testimony, through our love for you, that you would add to your number, that you would bring the men, Lord, from the fields and cause more men and women and children to know you and to bring you honor, Lord God. Certainly you are worthy that every man, woman, and child should praise your name. So we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for our great salvation. Come quickly, establish your kingdom, and do your good word. And we pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.